Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers, and I want to just take a few minutes and touch on that before we get into the message of this morning. But before I do that, I had a little bit of a surprise last couple days. If you know that God had allowed Linda and I to serve in the Philippines for a number of years, and we received an email the other day from a young man that used to live over in the village where we were ministering, and his name is Johnny, and his son Mark, and they're living in Hamilton about 10 years ago, and he got a hold of us, and they came up to visit us. So Johnny, we thank you for coming, and you know, you just never know how God's going to use his word. He's a born-again believer today. And he was telling some stories about the memories that he had when we were ministering there and how God used that over the years to bring him to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, you know, what a blessed privilege and honor that we have to minister the words of Christ. And, you know, you just don't know where God's going to use those words and the seed that you plant in someone's life. So I want to thank them for coming this morning, and it's a blessing to see them again. Mother's Day. It's such a privilege to, I just want to spend a few minutes. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but for those of you who are mothers this morning, I just want to thank you and along with my own mother for the patience and the love and the care that has been shown to us children over the years. My mom passed away a little over a year ago, and I have her Bible that that we keep. And you know, it's such a blessing to go through the Bible that she had. Mom struggled with cancer the last years of her life, but yet she continued to use God's word to draw her comfort. And she was such a testimony to us children. I have two sisters and a brother, and we're all born-again believers today. And my dad also was a believer. And but to focus on mothers this morning, I just want to, if I can, somehow just emphasize the importance of a godly life that mothers live, that impress upon their children. There's so much that my mom has done for us and for me as a child. I remember growing up through the struggles of the teenage years and even beyond that. And, you know, it's just to have the Word of God was always her comfort, was always her refuge, was always her words to us to serve the Lord and to be faithful to him through our life. And, you know, those kind of things really mold children as they're growing up. And so as mothers, don't despair. I turned out okay, and I give a lot of that credit to my mom for the patience that she had with me over the years. And, of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who deserves all the credit, but so thankful for godly parents and a godly mother who continued to minister God's word faithfully. There's so much in her Bible that's kind of tattered and worn over the years. But I think one of the things that kind of hit me the most as I was going through, there's a little paper at the beginning taped in the front of her Bible. And it's addressed to the pastor of her church. And she said, "If I should die, I want a salvation message at my funeral." And you know, it was for me, it was just that thought that even in death, Mom was concerned about the salvation of other people, her care and her love for others. And so if there's any way that I can encourage mothers this morning, you know, don't give up and continue to be that testimony and that solid influence on your children because in the day and age that we live, we need that. We need that from our mothers. We need that care. We need that concern. And we need that focus so many times to direct us back to the Word of God. So thank you for those of you that are mothers this morning. Be encouraged. The time that you spend in God's Word and the encouragement you give to your children will reap great benefits later in life. So happy Mother's Day, and continue to be that light in your family. If you would, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just take a minute and commit our time to the Lord. Father, as we look into your word this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your love and concern for each one of us, that you took the time to have your word written, that we can study it and draw from it encouragement and direction in our lives. And Father, as we look into this brief passage this morning, we just pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us to be those kind of people that would reflect you in all that we do and say. And we'll give you the praise in your name. Amen. As I was thinking about what to share with you this morning, and along the lines of thinking about Mother's Day and the little bit that I just shared with you, there's a portion of scripture here in Ephesians chapter 5. And he opens it in verse 1. He says, "Therefore be followers of God as dear children." He's telling us to be followers. And what that word follower actually means is to be an imitator of God in our lives. As Christians, we should imitate God in our lifestyle, in what we do and what we say. Think back over the years, maybe to your childhood, and think back to the time when you were impressed up maybe by someone, maybe by your parents who you would imitate. I remember back, and I grew up on a small farm in Pennsylvania and had a little sandbox in the backyard. And I had my little tractor and plows and all that stuff, you know. And I remember when my dad and my grandpa were plowing the fields, and I would always do the same thing in my little sandbox. And I was imitating them because I looked up to them. And all of us probably have someone in our life that has impressed us and that we've maybe patterned our lives after. Well, Paul here in the book of Ephesians, he's telling us to be followers of God, to be imitators of God. And that's what we need to focus on this morning. And we're going to look at three different ways that I believe that we can imitate God in our lives. The first one is found in verse 2, where he tells us to walk in love. The second one is found in verse 8, where he tells us to walk in light. And then the last one in verse 15, where he encourages us to walk in wisdom. Walk in love. Look at verse 2. He tells us to be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The first thing I want us to think about when we think about the love that God has showed to us and what this verse says, Paul is telling us, and it's a command that comes from God, that we're to walk in love. It's not that if you feel good today, to walk in love. It's not if you're having a good day, but every day and throughout our lives need to be characterized by love and concern for one another. And you know, so much, I don't know, maybe you have noticed it. I think I've noticed it more as I start getting older. That's such an uncommon trait in people anymore. People become so self-centered, so self-focused, that love, that sharing love to one another, becomes something that you don't see very much anymore. And, you know, when you think of people, and if we're going to be honest with ourselves, if we think back and say, okay, is there someone in my life that really irritates me? You know, I sure don't want to show love to that person because they really bother me. And, you know, what about that person that maybe cheated you or stole from you or did something to your family? Maybe on the way to church this morning, someone cut you off. And you know, it's like, you know, all these little things come up in our life. But God tells us, and Paul is encouraging us as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are to walk in love for one another. Show that love and show that concern. And some people were, and I think it's something that we need to develop in our Christian lives more and more, and some people are really good at doing that. My mom was a person she was always sending notes and cards and things like that to people to encourage them and to show her love and concern. And I think we need to do the same thing. Over in 1 John chapter 4, I just want to read a couple verses. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Think of the love of God and the love that God had for you and I when he sent his Son to redeem us on that cross. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have for one another. So first off here, as we look at love, God commands us that we need to walk in love. It's a command that God desires of us as his children. Secondly, it's an unconditional love. It's a love that doesn't have any strings attached. Well, I'll love you if you do this for me. It doesn't work that way. God wants us to love one another because it's just like a natural outflowing of what God has done in our lives. As we have become children of God, that love that God demonstrated for us when he died on that cross should be the same love that we demonstrate for one another. He tells us to walk in love as Christ also loved us. Again, I just want to read a couple verses for you over in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, so ought we to love one another. God loved us when we weren't very lovely people. We had a lot of problems. If you think back to where your life was before you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we were living in sin, we were slaves of sin, but in spite of all that, God loved us so much that he sent his Son. And he's telling us the same thing, that we're to have that kind of love for one another, a love that is not restricted, and it's not dependent on someone else's response to us, but we're to love people anyway, and we're to love them as God has loved us. Third, it's an unlimited love. It's a love that keeps on loving, and it's like God's love for us. It just has no end. It has no bounds. Again, I just want to read a couple verses from Romans 8, 38 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an unlimited love. He continues to love. It doesn't run out. And as believers, we need to have that same love and that same patience for one another. not only within the family of God, but also those that are outside the family of God. It needs to be an unselfish love, thinking of others first. Someone shared these verses earlier this morning in Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others." So we're encouraged to look at others and have that love and that compassion that God had upon us. That was his desire. It's a very practical type of love that God wants us to show to one another. There are a lot of nasty people in the world. You've probably run into a few. Maybe you have a neighbor that may be that way. Maybe someone that you work with. But in spite of all that, God calls us to love them and to be that encouragement. He tells us, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, just going back one verse before chapter 5. "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ also forgave you." Being kind, being tenderhearted. These are things that I think that over the years, as you express this kind of a life, really has an effect on other people. There are some people who may refuse the gospel, who may refuse the words of the Lord, but as you show love to them over the years, they begin to respond, they begin to soften. And you'll find that more and more and as you do that. So first of all, here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us to love one another. Now, you know, again, that's a very, very basic truth of the Christian life. But I want you to spend some time and think about that today. Am I loving others as Christ would have me to love them, as he loved me? It's such a vital part of our Christian life as we walk with God. Secondly, look at verse 8, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Light is an emblem of happiness. It's joy. It's holiness. It has that meaning that that our life is full. And you know, there's so much that's happened to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been changed. You know the verse over in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." See, when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, we move from that place of darkness and we move into that realm of light. And we have that power of the Holy Spirit who radiates from us. And it's almost like when you walk into a dark room and you flip on a light switch. That's what you and I ought to be in this world that we live in. We should be light. There should be something about us because we've been changed, because we're walking in fellowship with God, that when we walk into a room, we radiate the love of God. We radiate the light of God for others to see. He says we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Over in Colossians, I want to read just a couple of verses from Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, "Giving thanks unto God, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness." When Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and he rose again, when we trust him as our Savior, it says here in Colossians that he delivered us from the power of darkness. We no longer have to walk around in darkness. We no longer have to have that gloom and doom in our lives. But he has delivered us from that power of darkness, and he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He picked us out of that darkness from that dark world, from the bonds of slavery to sin, and he has set us into the kingdom of his Son. And because of that, we have been translated from darkness to light. We're now children of the light. And Paul said, because you have been delivered from darkness and you had set your feet into the kingdom of God and you belong to God and you're children of the light, he tells us to walk that way. Walk in light. Radiate the love of God from your heart, from your soul, and from the things that you do. There is no darkness in our Lord Jesus Christ, nor should there be in us. 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message what we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we need to take a little bit of time and we need to sit down and we need to evaluate our lifestyle. Am I living a lifestyle that has any darkness in it? Is there sin in my life? Is there something in my life that is keeping me from fulfilling the promises of God? Is there something in my life that's keeping the light of God from shining out from me? Is there maybe something hidden in the secret parts of my life, maybe no one else knows about? It's something that we all need to daily examine our hearts. We need to be aware of, because Satan would seek to destroy us, and he would seek to dampen that light that you and I have, and that should radiate from us because of the love of God. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our life. It talks about that here in Ephesians verse 9. It says, walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is moral excellence. We should be that kind of a people, those kind of people that have that moral excellence in our life, that people should be able to see that we're children of God. It talks about righteousness. A righteous life, a life of integrity and truth and honesty. And then verse 11, he said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. If, as we mentioned earlier, if there's anything in your life, that sin that's there, that's maybe something that you're doing that maybe nobody else knows anything about, you know, God tells us that we need to get rid of that. Have no fellowship with it. Have no parts of it. Don't dabble in darkness. Don't see how close you can get to sin without actually committing a sin. You know, God says we are children of the light, and we need to walk as children of the light. Listen to these couple verses in John. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God intends us to walk in light so that our light so shines that when other people see that light radiating from my life, it attracts them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, in verses 15 through 17, he tells us to walk in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He tells us to walk circumspectly, to walk carefully, to walk diligently. You know, the times that we live in, it's becoming sometimes more and more difficult to live a life that brings honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's why Paul's telling us here to walk diligently. Choose your footing with care. I remember when we were in the Philippines, and I had the hardest time walking on them rice terraces. Johnny probably knows those guys do it like it's no problem at all, but they're about a foot wide, and they're slippery, and there's a long drop on the one side, and you're walking along there trying to keep from losing your footing. And that's what it kind of reminds me here. He tells us when we walk in wisdom, we choose our footing carefully as we walk this Christian life. Be careful the lifestyle that we live. Be careful the places that we go. Walk diligently. And then he says, not as fools, but as wise. Not as people of the world. We are not to live a lifestyle indulging in the foolish pleasures of sin. But God wants us to live a lifestyle that brings honor and glory to his name. And then lastly, he tells us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Recover every minute that you have in your life and live it for the Lord. Because once it's passed, you can't get it back. And he tells us to redeem the time. Rescue or recover that time from waste. Use it for the great purposes of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe as you get older and you realize how short life can be. Both my parents have passed on. And, you know, as I look at their lives, and it seems like it's such a short time. And he tells us here, and he's encouraging us here, to redeem every minute that we have. Use every minute that you have to bring honor and glory to God. There are many allurements, there are many temptations that would lead you away from God and from the time that you spend in his word, and the time that you are demonstrating love to one another, the time that you're walking in light. Be careful that you don't waste your time, because time is very valuable. And we only have a limited amount of time to serve our Lord. There was a quote, and I can't remember where I got it, but let me read it to you. It says, man has just enough time given to him to accomplish all the purposes which God designs, and God has not given him more than enough. God has given you enough time in your life to accomplish his will that he wants to accomplish through you. And if you waste that precious time, you're not going to be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. So if we look here in the book of Ephesians, we're encouraged by the Apostle Paul to be imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in love, to walk in light, and to walk in wisdom. And I'd encourage you this morning, as you continue in your Christian lives and you continue to walk with our Lord, that we would be very careful, be very diligent in our lifestyle, in the way that we walk, that we would use it to bring honor and glory to his name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you bring forth to us, for the reminder, even though it sometimes very basic, very, very simple thoughts of walking in love, in light, and in wisdom. But yet, Lord, you have taken time to encourage us to walk this way. And Father, I just pray for each one that's here, pray for myself as well, that as we live and we walk in this world, that, Lord, we would redeem the time, that we would take use of every minute that you've given us to bring honor and glory to you. Help us, Lord, to be that testimony, to be that light. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we're looking forward to what you're going to do in our lives in the future. Thank you for our time together this morning, and we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide us throughout the remainder of today, and we'll give you the praise in your name. Amen.